Well, I want to look at a scripture this morning that I think is going to be very powerful. It's Psalm 37. I've got two versions that I want to read to you, or I want you to read with me. First of all, it's in Psalm 37, 23, out of the King James Version. And the reason why I want you to read this is because I want you to get it in your spirit. There is such truth in this little scripture because God has a new path for you to dwell in today. He's always carving out new pathways that lead to our destiny and that bring blessing into our life. So let's read it together. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now that's great, but I looked at it in the Message Bible, and I thought, wow, that's even more clear and more definitive. So put it up in the Message Bible, and let's read that together. Ready? Stalwart walks in step with God, his path blazed by God, he's happy. You know, no matter where you are in life, no matter what pathway you're on, if you're with God, you're going to be happy. Because God's presence makes all the difference in our life. I realize that we're coming into a new season. I feel that with all my heart. And I want to just challenge us this morning to lock in on the good and get your focus off of the evil. Begin to see the positive and see the blessings of God. And get your mind off the negative and off the curses. Start looking at what God is going to do for you and expect God to do it rather than what hasn't happened yet. Begin to see God moving in your life. Remember last week I told you the story of the vulture and the hummingbird? That's a real important story to me, and it's worth repeating. Because in the deserts in America, there's those two birds fly over those regions in our nation. One bird, a vulture, looks for nothing but decaying and rotting flesh. The other bird, however, looks for little desert blossoms. And it represents an attitude that you can have today. I call it the Goditude. If you have the right Goditude, you're going to pass over the decaying things, the rotting things, and you're going to get your eyes fixed on the little blossoms. You're going to get your mind off of what was and start looking at what is. And you're going to start experiencing the blessing and the fragrance of God. See, I believe you have a choice. You can either come in here and sit as a vulture, or you can come in here and be transformed into a hummingbird. Because the Bible said God's making all things new. Old things are passing away. He also says this in Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a hummingbird. Well, he's a new creature, right? In other words, you don't have to be vulture-like characteristics. You can be hummingbird-like in your characteristics. You can begin looking for the fragrance and the beauty and the blossoms and the color that God has prepared for you. It's all about your attitude. It's all about your outlook. It's what you believe God for. Now, I believe that we're entering into a season of God's unusual favor. I know you've heard that before, but let me tell you something. I'm experiencing it. Tia and I are together experiencing it. Patty and Gary, they shared about how they're experiencing it. I know a lot of people in this room right now are saying, hey, I could testify of some measure of God's favor in my life in the last 30 days. Can I get a witness there maybe? Look at all the hands going up. See, I got a feeling that we're coming into a new season of favor. I like to call it this kind of favor. The shouldn't have had happened, but did kind of favor. In other words, it shouldn't have happened, but God in his infinite mercy and his power in his glory made it happen when everybody said it can't happen. I was in the foyer this morning in the first service and greeting people and welcoming them, saying happy Sunday. And I was looking for one good thing to compliment everybody on. So I saw this young lady walk in, and Denise, she looks just like you. And I was overwhelmed by Denise's smile in my mind. This lady's name is Christine. So as she was walking up in the parking lot toward the door, I thought, oh, there's Denise. I just love Denise's smile. I'm going to say, you got a great smile, Denise. So she walked in the door. I said, Denise, I love your smile. And she stopped smiling and said, my name's Christine. So I thought, okay, Lord, how am I going to turn this around? I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, you just reminded me of someone who's got such a great smile over in the East Campus. And I apologize. She goes, Pastor, it's okay. I just wanted you to know I started coming here last week. And since last week, I have seen God's unusual favor in my life. I said, well, talk to me. She goes, you won't believe it. I needed an apartment. I didn't even have money for an apartment. But I just felt so encouraged last week that God was for me and that He was going to work things out. I started looking at the apartment that I wanted, not the apartment that I could afford. And I walked in there expecting God to do something that I wouldn't be able to do for myself. Let me tell you, I said, come on now, preach to the preacher. She said, they said to me, look, I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I'm going to take $200 off of the quote that I gave you. Because the quote that he gave her was $200 beyond her budget, but she wanted the apartment. As she was walking away, he called her and said, come back here. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I just feel like you need to be in this apartment. I'm going to take $200 off. And all she could do was say, look how good God is. Isn't that awesome? But she didn't stop there. She said, I got to tell you, Pastor, not only did they take $200 off, but then he said, you know, I have no idea why I'm doing this. She started getting happy. She said, I know why. But he said, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to forego the first month's rent. And I'm going to forego the last month's rent as a deposit. And I'm going to give you the first 30 days free. Well, by that time, she was jumping up and down, got $200 a month off. She got first month's rent free, no deposit. And then he said, look, I'm going to be a blessing. And I don't even know why I'm doing this. And she said, well, I know why, because I'm in God's unusual favor. This just happened this morning. She told me, she said, look, I'm going to put a brand new washing machine and a brand new dryer in your unit. I just feel like you deserve it. She came to church this morning and she said, Pastor, I'm walking in unusual favor. And I know that God is doing unbelievable things. Hallelujah. So lift your hands up with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for unusual favor, for uncommon favor that I am walking in the blessing of God in Jesus' name. Amen. You and I have got to start looking for the blessing. Now you're going to find what you look for. You came here today looking for something to criticize. You're going to find it. If you don't find it in the deacon, you don't find it in the elder, you don't find it in the worship leader, you might even find it in me. You're going to find it somewhere. But if you came as a hummingbird, you're not looking for that which is decaying or rotten or doesn't have life in itself. It doesn't perpetuate life. You came looking, even though you're in a wilderness time, even though you're in a time of lack, even though you're in a time of scarcity, you know that God has a blossom and a bloom somewhere that if you focus your attention on it, you're going to be able to land on it, see the beauty and the color of God's creation, and extract from not what was, but from what is. I believe you can change your whole attitude if you'll just focus on the blessing of God and that we are in an unusual season of favor. I like to say it's the shouldn't have had happened time. She shouldn't have got $200 off, but she did. She shouldn't have got a new washer and dryer, but she did. She shouldn't have got the first month's rent free, but she did. She shouldn't have had a free, no deposit, but she did. I don't know what shouldn't have happened for you or will happen for you, but get this in your spirit this morning. God is about to do something for you that in the natural, it could never come to pass. You know why? Because we're in a season of unusual favor of God. Hallelujah. You know, the pathway of life, our journey sometimes is not pleasant. Sometimes we go through deserts. Sometimes we go through lack. Sometimes we go through hardships and sometimes rejection, sometimes denial. But you know what? We realize that on that pathway, that if God is with us, we're going to stay happy. Did you notice what it said in Psalm 37 and verse 23 in the Message Bible? Stalwart, that's you and me. We walk in step with God. And His path, Stalwart's path, because he's walking with God, is blazed by God. The devil may be coming in there trying to point all the negative things that you have to look at. But we need to realize that we're far above all principality and power. We realize that we are seated with Christ. We have a different perspective on what the world sees. Your parents may see it. Your friends may see it. Everybody's trying to drag you down. But because you're walking in step with God, you see life the way God sees it. And even though there's a wilderness, you know that there's a desert bloom that you're about to find. And you're just happy. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm just happy. Now, if you couldn't say that this morning, I understand that. But my goal this morning is before you leave here, I'm going to preach you happy. All right? Because it's God's plan and God's will that we walk in the joy of the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, if you're in a church this morning and you're not used to this kind of tradition where people talk out loud in church, people even laugh in church, people even look like they're enjoying church. That's really what God wants us to experience. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And sometimes it's good just to be happy, because we know that God's word is like medicine to us. And the Bible said that His desire and will for us is that we would be blessed of the Lord. So I know that whatever I do may not always turn out right, may not always be immediate blessing, but I know that if I stay on this pathway, it's going to work itself out. That God be for me, who can be against me? And that I know that He's planned my end from the beginning. So I'm not going to give up now. I'm going to keep on trudging with God. I know that I'm going to walk in step with Him. My only goal this morning, even though I'm going through trouble, is to make sure I'm in cadence with the King. If I'm in cadence with the King, I know that He's going to walk it out. Come on, Aunt B, remember that song you talked about, walking it out? Sometimes you just got to walk it out, praise it out. And let me just say this. Your praise isn't always necessarily pretty. Sometimes you praise with tears on your face, smudges on your cheeks, sometimes wrinkles in your clothes from being up all night long. But it doesn't matter. Even though He slay me, yet shall I praise Him. Even though I'm in the middle of a desert, yet shall I praise Him. Come on, lift your hands up with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank You that I am in a season of unusual favor. Hallelujah. Now, why am I having you say that? Because I've got to reverse your mentality. I've got to get you on another track. I've got to help you to another pathway. I've got to help you see that God has got a plan for you, and you are the one that has to be persuaded. I'm already persuaded. The people around you are persuaded. God is persuaded. All the angels in heaven are persuaded. The only person we got to work on is You. Oh boy. Sometimes you just got to say, God, come on, work on me. It's all right. You know, I'm learning to expect the unexpected. I never expected to share a platform for 14.6 seconds with Joel Osteen. You say, well, it was only 14.6 seconds. It doesn't matter. God used my voice, my words, to bring a declaration over 14,000 people. You say, yeah, but there were three other pastors there. Doesn't matter. God used them too. But He used me. I don't know how many thousands of pastors are in this region, but somehow God made a way or a pathway for me to be a blessing, even if it was for that little bit. See, someone can say, yeah, but. No. I don't do any yeah, buts. I just believe that God is good all the time. Amen. And all the time what? God is good. Turn over somebody and say, give me five. I'm learning to expect the unexpected. I'm learning to hear things that are unusual. I'm learning to look for that which I'd never thought possible in my life before. I'm believing that God is going to reveal some things that I could never arrange myself. I heard someone give me a testimony this morning, not only the one I just shared with you, but another testimony of an individual who shared with them that they're feeling drawn to the ministry. You know what that encouraged me? I don't have to try to make you attend this church. I try to butter you up. And that was really good, Gary, butter side up. I thought that was great. I don't have to try to smooth you or shake your hand or talk you into it, because I believe that this is by the Spirit. It's not by might or not by power, but God draws people by His Spirit. And that encouraged me this morning. He gave testimony that God said he was being drawn to come and be a part of this ministry. You know, that gives me confidence that God has my future in His hand. That God's got my present right under His eyes. That God has my past covered. I know that I'm secure in Him. And that I'm entering into this unusual season of the favor of God. Let me share with you a little story out of 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, I know most of you know this story, and I know that sometimes it's a risk as a preacher when you come up with a familiar story. People check out on you, and they go, I've heard sermons on that 1,000 times. Well, here's 1,001, and kind of hang in there with me. But it was about a prophet, 1 Kings 17 and 3, and God said something to him that's very powerful. And I want you to get this, because be careful when you read Scripture that you don't jump over the most important part to try to get to the context of what's being said. Those first four words are very powerful. Get away from here. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to people in this room right now, and He's saying, get away from here. Oh no, I don't mean to leave the church. What I'm talking about is get away from a vulture's mentality. Get away from living in the past. Get away from thinking that life is never going to change. In other words, get away from just existing to begin to flourishing. Get away from being cursed to get under the blessing of God. The Holy Spirit is speaking, and He's speaking to a generation, to this, simply this. Get away from where you've been. Why? I want you to turn eastward. East was always symbolic of the Messiah, the covenant that we have with God. He'll split the eastern sky. He was speaking to the prophet and said, you've got your focus tuned in too much to King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. You've been intimidated too long. You've been under the threats of what they've been verbalizing. I want you to turn away from all that negativity, and I want you to turn eastward. Can I encourage you this morning? It's time for you to turn away from what was and what isn't and all the negative and all the bad. And I want you to turn eastward. I want you to look and behold the Son of the living God. I want you to turn and look God square in the face and know this, that if He's for you, nobody can be against you. And I want you to look at Him in His eyes of love and acceptance and His attaboys. I'm going to preach a message here in a few weeks that talks about basement people and balcony people. I want you to know that you're done with the basement. It's time for you to move up to the balcony. Amen? Because balcony people are those that will applaud you. Basement people are those that will always point the finger at you. Verse 4, 1 Kings 17, he said, I want you to get away from here. I want you to go to this brook, Cherith. There I'm going to give you water to drink. And then he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cause you to be fed by ravens in verse 4. You're going to drink from the brook, and I've commanded ravens to feed you there. Now, we've heard that story, and as unusual as it is, I want you just to focus for a few minutes on it. Let me share with you a couple of truths that I think are essential for us to understand, because we need to begin looking for the unusual and unexpected in our life. Now, this brook Cherith was not a river. As I did my research, I found that it was called a wadi, W-A-D-I, a wadi. Now, my understanding about a wadi is it doesn't have any natural flow of continual water. The only way a wadi is full of water is if there's an abundance of rain in the mountains, and that water finds its way down into the valleys through the wadi. When the rain is ended and there's no more overflow, the wadi dries up. Now notice what God said to the prophet. He said, I want you to go to a wadi, and from that wadi, I'm going to give you to drink. Now it's the same prophet that just spoke and said, by my words, there will be no rain. Suddenly there was a drought in the whole land. King Ahab was angry. His wife Jezebel vowed to kill him. And this prophet had to go to the brook to find a place of God's provision. So here's what the Lord did. He said, I don't need a river. I don't need an ocean. I don't even need a rainfall to make this wadi run with water to meet your need. In other words, I can supersede the natural circumstances to bring blessing and to bring fulfillment in your life. You know what that does for me? That tells me that if God can do it for Elijah, God can do it for me. If God can do it for him, he can do it for you. And I believe that you and I are entering in to this unusual time of God's favor that he can create water in a wadi when it's not raining. And not only that, he said, I'm going to give ravens to feed you. Ravens' DNA was to consume themselves. They also were vulture-like, and they ate on decaying flesh or rotting flesh or represented that which was. And he said, what I want you to do is, I want you to, night before, just tell me what you want for breakfast. I want you to tell me what you want for lunch. I want you to tell me what you want for supper. And, oh yeah, don't forget the midnight snack. Just tell me what you want. And he gave that order to these ravens. These ravens had it all packaged up by God. It smelled so good. But God overrode their natural instincts. They never broke a seal on a package. They came right on time and delivered breakfast. They came right on time and delivered lunch, supper, and even the midnight snack. And God was able to meet their need. And he did it supernaturally. What he was trying to tell him is, look, I know the DNA of that situation, but that DNA does not limit me. I can override and supersede the natural instincts of a created bird that is one that is to be consumer, and he will then be a deliverer. He will be the one that will bring to you what you have need of because I've commanded it. And I want to encourage you this morning that if you can get a hold of the favor of God and recognize where you're living right now, get up in the morning and expect the unexpected. God can fill up a wadi that's normally dry, and God can send ravens to feed you that normally will consume for themselves. You say, well, that's all I've got around me is a bunch of selfish, no good. No, don't say that. You say, well, that's all I've been experienced is desert-like, dry-like experience. Don't say that, because God doesn't need rain to fill up your riverbed. God does not need to do things naturally. This is a season of unusual favor of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got to do it one more time because I've already forgot. So come on, lift up your hands with me. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus. That I am walking in a time of favor. Unusual and uncommon. Unexpected blessing. In Jesus' name. Now I've got to get you to say that because sometimes you allow your circumstances, ravens and dry wadis, to convince you that God's not for you. But if God can take Christine, who I thought was Denise and she didn't mind anyway, and begin to give her an apartment that she couldn't afford, wanted to look at it anyway, and the owner decided that he liked her, I think God put like in her, in him rather. God put like in him. She's walking away. He stops her. It shouldn't have happened, but it happened. Not only that, but give her the first month's rent free. Shouldn't have happened, but it happened. He shouldn't have given her no deposit. Come on now, but he did. He shouldn't have bought her a washer and dryer. I think he's in love. I want you to begin expecting those things that should not happen in the natural. That's the season that we're in. Now, what's interesting about this whole story is that things shifted because God said, okay, I've taken you through one season. I want to teach you a little bit more. So suddenly the wadi had no water. Secondly, the ravens didn't come back. Ravens got smart. God released them, put them back to their natural instincts. They're flying in for a landing one day, overcome by the scent of those biscuits and burgers and whatever else they were delivering. And they thought, why are we giving it to this man? Let's divert. And they diverted left. Off they went, and they consumed the whole meal. The prophet's sitting there going, God, what's happening? Ravens haven't come back. God, what's happening? The wadi's dried up. It's in those moments that you have to keep looking for the unexpected. Because just like God met the need the first time, God will meet the need a second time. God has not forgotten you. God has not walked away from you. Just get in step with the cadence of the King. And when you're going to find out is the pathway you're on is going to lead to blessing and lead to fulfillment. Let me put this statement up on the screen. It's a great quote. It basically says, we cannot become what we want to be by remaining what we are. I want you to say that with me because Some of us think that if we just stay vulture-like in our characteristic, if we have a bad attitude, that if we keep coming to church or reading our Bible, that things are going to change. I don't believe it works that way. I believe you attract what you are. You know, a lot of people will say to me that, you know, I just appreciate your church. It's so loving. I thought, well, that's great because loving people attract loving people. Did you ever notice that when some churches you go to, everybody's mean? It's because mean people like hanging out with mean people. But if you came here mean this morning, you're not going to last long. You're either going to find a mean church or you're going to get converted. Hallelujah. So we see that we can't become what we want to be by remaining what we are. So we have to understand how God wants to take us from glory to glory. I need to realize that if I'm looking for blessing, I need to be a blessing. If I'm looking for the unexpected, I need to wake up in the morning and change my focus. I need to begin to declare over me that I am blessed and I am flourishing. I talked to a young man this morning. His name is Eli. His wife's name is Victoria. Victoria has been in our church since she was about 5 years old. She came through the Joshua Kids program. And she went through our school, but we had the school through high school. She was the queen of the prom or the senior class or whatever they call it. And every time I see her, she's now in her middle 20s, I'd say Queen Victoria when she walks in. I always celebrate her. I think she's an awesome young lady. She's now studying. She's just graduated, I believe, in her undergrad. She's moving into her graduate school. She wants to be a pediatrician. I believe she's going to attain that goal. But you know what's beautiful about it is that I said, Eli, do you love being a father? He goes, I love being a father. I said, Eli, what's the best thing about being a father? He said, holding that baby and declaring over him or declaring over her greatness. I said, that's your role as a man. That's your role as a husband, is to speak words of life over your children. Speak words of life over Victoria. See, that's our goal here, ladies and gentlemen, is when people walk through that door, ushers, greeters, worship leaders, doesn't matter who you are, find one good thing to say about somebody. Now, don't lie, but come up with something. You have to stretch the truth. It's all right. You know what I'm saying? You can always say, hey, those are great shoes. They match. That's awesome. That's wonderful. You look great this morning. I'm glad to see you. Boy, I bet you the devil got nervous when you woke up this morning. Some positive word. Why? Because what you are is what you will attract. And if you're wondering why you always have these mean people in your life, or people that are betraying you, or people that are always negative around you, maybe it's because you're like a magnet and you are just drawing them to you. It's time for you to trade in your wings of a vulture and get them tiny little wings of a hummingbird and begin looking for the blossoms that God has for you. So say it with me. We cannot become what we want to be by remaining what we are. Now, this is what happened in verse 9 of 1 Kings chapter 17. Everything dried up and God said, here's what I want you to do. Just like you went from there, I want you to go from here. And there's a powerful truth in that. You're not going to be the same the second half of 2012 as you were the first half of 2012. I don't want you to think this year is going to end the same way that you have lived the first half of this year. I don't want you to start looking for 2013. You know that proverbial, I'm going to believe it, 2013 is going to be my year, and you're giving up on this year. I believe that this year is going to be the greatest year you've ever had. He's always telling us to go from where we are to where He wants us to be. So He is increasing us from glory to glory to glory to glory. So He says, come on, say the first word with me, arise. He says, arise and go to Zarephath. Now, you all look at that and you go, well, that's like saying arise and go to Solon. It's just a city. And He said, I want you to dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow to provide for you. Now, God, that doesn't make sense because widows have no money. Widows need to be cared for. Why? Okay, I got it. Wadis, ravens. All right, I'll go. But notice something about Zarephath. This is really important. Don't miss this truth. Zarephath is not just an ordinary city. Zarephath, according to my research, was the hometown of Queen Jezebel. Queen Jezebel is the woman that's trying to kill him. So God says, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to provide for you. First of all, I'm going to provide for you by using a widow. Secondly, I'm going to provide for you by moving to Jezebel's hometown. Now, if it was me, I'd say, God, look, we need to talk. First of all, why would you tell me a widow is going to help me? And why would you want me to go to Jezebel's hometown? You know her mama and them still live there. Look, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Queen Jezebel was what she was because Mama Jezebel was a crazy woman. So here's the prophet has to go to Zarephath. God said, look, it may not sound usual to you, but you're living in an unusual time. You're living in an unusual moment of favor. And what doesn't seem like could happen in the natural, I'm going to make work for you. Now, here's another thing about Zarephath. It was about 100 miles from the brook Cherith. According to my research, I may be wrong. You theologians, you can check me on it later. I'm not a theologian. I'm just a pastor. But about 100 miles. So, I don't know, maybe from here to Toledo, Ohio. But in that distance, you have to understand the road that led from Cherith to Zarephath. Not only was Zarephath Queen Jezebel's hometown, but the path to Zarephath was the domain that King Ahab ruled over. So now God's telling him, the brook dried up, ravens aren't coming back, but you go to that mad woman's hometown and walk through the King Ahab's domain to get there, and I'm going to have a widow meet all your needs. Have you ever got up in the morning and say, God, this makes no sense whatsoever. I don't know how you're going to do this, but God, I don't think this is going to work. Have you ever said that? Some of you need to fix your halo. It's crooked on your left horn. Come on, we all know that we've sometimes questioned God. We say, God, this doesn't work. This ain't happening. You've got to be kidding me. But isn't it powerful that he was willing to go? Now think about it with me. 100 miles journey. His first mile, all the Bedouins were looking at him. They started to manufacture his casket. Oh, he's walking right through Ahab's domain. You know Ahab's going to kill him. He's been looking for him. You know there are people there that are going to tell on him. You know there are people that are going to point it out. 50 miles into it, they're still convinced that the prophet is going to be destroyed. They're all laughing. They're all mocking him. They're telling him his days are numbered. Do you ever have anybody around you like that? That tell you that you're crazy, that it's not going to work. Why are you doing this? Listen, they can't see the God that you see. Neither can they feel the God that you feel. But you and I both know that if you're in cadence with the King, that you're going to be happy no matter what pathway that you're on. Because he's leading. He's the shepherd. He's the God that takes us even through the valley of the shadow of death. 75 miles in. Now he's only 25 miles out from the city limits of Zarephath. They're all wondering what's going on. He's still alive. 10 miles out, 5 miles out. He only has 500 yards. All of a sudden, they're no longer mocking him. They're no longer speaking his demise. They're no longer ridiculing him. They're walking next to him. They're saying, look what the Lord hath done. This man made it right through the domain of a crazy King Ahab. They're asking for his autograph. When he walks into Zarephath, all the pastors of Zarephath are asking him to come and testify about how he walked through the domain of darkness and God gave him the victory. You know, some people will never celebrate you while you're in the journey. But when you get to your destination, they're all going to want your autograph. They're all going to want to celebrate you. But don't you worry. God's celebrating you with every step of obedience that you take, even if nobody believes in you. All right, one more time. You got to do it because some of you have forgotten. Come on, lift your hands up. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that I have entered an unusual time of the favor of God. I expect the unexpected in Jesus' name. You see, I believe that's what our tomorrow is going to be. I believe that's the rest of your day. That's what I believe God wants to do for you, what God wants to do for me. Now he gets to the Zarephath, and wow, what a victory. The widow shows up. He said, "Hey, woman, what you going to do?" "Well, I've got this little bit of meal. I'm going to go in there and bake a cake. It's our last meal. Then my son and I, we're going to die." Prophet said, "God, first it's ravens. Then it's a wadi. Then it's Ahab. Then it's a domain of Zarephath. Then it's this crazy woman, Jezebel's hometown. Now it's a widow that's got just a little bit of meal." But by now, his faith is growing. By now, his confidence is growing. He said, "God, I don't know what you're going to do with that little bit of meal." He started preaching himself happy. Because those that are in step with God, they're happy along the way. Listen, people are going to wonder, "Why are you so happy? Do you realize what's happening to you? Do you realize that you just lost $100,000 in your business? It's all right." He didn't say it like that, but he said, "It's all right because I believe that God is with me and God is for me and he's going to turn this thing around." So he gets real bold. He said, "Hey, woman, I want you to go make a cake for me first." Everybody around there were going, "Do you believe that preacher? This little old woman, she's about to die. Make her last cake, and he wants a first bite." Boy, leave it up to preachers. All they care about is money. Well, you know the story. He goes to bake the cake, and what happens? Meal doesn't end. Oil doesn't quit. See, the blessing of God was in the obedience to the pathway. And the widow had to meet the prophet. And the prophet had to walk through Zarephath and had to enter into Jezebel's hometown, had to experience the dried up brook, had to experience the lack of that bird supernaturally that was coming into his life. You know what that tells me? Sometime God is supernaturally going to bless you, and then all of a sudden the blessings dry up and you go, "God, what did I do? What's going on?" And all he's doing is he's taking you from where you were to where he wants you to be. And you know why? Because there's a Mount Carmel waiting on your arrival. But in order to get to Mount Carmel, you had to go to the brook Cherith. In order to call fire down from heaven, you had to see ravens bring you food. Then you had to walk through the domain of a king that was out to kill you. And you had to enter into a city of a queen that was obsessed with your death. You see, God is preparing you for greatness. God is preparing us as a church for greatness. We are about to turn an entire city upside down. Ladies and gentlemen, if I didn't believe that there was hope for Cleveland, that God wanted to do some big miraculous thing in this place, I would not come back and preach one more sermon. But look, I've been to a brook and God supernaturally has supplied my need. I've had ravens bring me things that ordinarily would not have come. Yeah, those things stopped. But you know what? God led me through the valley of the shadow of death, but I did not fear any evil because my shepherd brought me through. Can I get a witness in here? God brought me through. So I know something great is about to happen. I've had to go in to a city of God haters. I've had to walk in to a congregation that no longer loved me, that brought me into the legal system and sued me, people that betrayed me, people that walked out on me. I think, "God, what am I doing in Zarephath?" He said, "It's all right, young man. I've got a plan for you. There's a Mount Carmel on the other side." See, I'm just trying to testify. I'm just trying to encourage you. Even though you've got something that's dried up or no longer flowing, be encouraged. God's not done with you yet. Come on, give God some praise. Come on, give God some praise. God's not done with you yet. Hallelujah. And I know he's not done with me either. Man, I flew up the stairs this morning. Tina left her coffee up there. We were getting ready to leave. And she goes, "Oh, I left my coffee upstairs." I said, "I'll get it." And I ran up them stairs. I said, "Wow, look at me, man. I did them stairs like I was 7 years old." I came back down. You know how you do sometimes? These are a little steep, but you know, you kind of like skip down the stairs. I skipped all the way down the stairs. I said, "Here's your coffee, baby." I said, "Let's go." How many know that if you wait upon the Lord, Come on, he said he will renew your strength like an eagle. Come on, God wants something good to happen in your life. He's a restorer, redeemer, renewer, deliverer. He's got a great plan for your life, I'm telling you. Woo! That's why it's important that you testify. You got to let somebody know how good God's been to you. Because somebody's listening. Somebody needs your encouragement. Somebody's in church today that needs to know that you made it through the Zarephath journey. Somebody needs to know that you've been to a brook and it dried up and it's going to be all right. Somebody needs to know that even though it was a widow and there was only a little meal left in the jar, that God has an unending supply. Somebody needs to know that even though you dwelt among the haters and those that betrayed you and those that didn't like you any longer and said evil against you, that it was all right because God's for you. Somebody needs to know that. Why? So they can build up their courage to make their journey on a new pathway. Now, I know it's almost 1:35 if you're taking medicine, but I just wanted you to know that. I'm almost done. I'm trying to do this in an hour and a half. I just letting you know what time it was in case it's time to take your pill. Nothing wrong with taking pills. It's all right. I think those steps got me. But in the Bible, there was a story about a woman. I talked about her Wednesday. The Bible said she had an issue of blood. For 12 years, she was flowing. She was literally bleeding to death. Understand the seriousness of that kind of disease and sickness. The Bible said that she spent all that she had. Physicians couldn't help her. Religion couldn't help her. Church didn't help her. Nothing was able to stop the flow of the blood. She was only a matter of days away, but she heard a testimony by some crazy prophet that said birds will bring food and wadis in the midst of drought will flow with drinking water. That you can walk through a treacherous land and find peace and safety. That God is faithful to take a little bit of meal and make it last forever. You see, on the other side of that widow was a boy that died. And God was preparing that prophet to walk in a new anointing. And that new anointing was to raise up that dead boy. See, your pathway, you may think, I don't understand my hardships. I don't understand this demand of faith on me. Well, let me tell you something. There's a boy that needs to be resurrected. And there's a Mount Carmel that needs to be declared that God is greater. You don't know what God has in your future, but let me tell you something. God has your future already planned out. And what you're going through is only a test. It's only a testimony. It's only preparing. So when you begin to declare it, you build faith in somebody else. So this woman heard. So she decided to go to church. She showed up where she was banned to go. She shouldn't have been there that day. That's why I say we are living in a time of shouldn't have. It shouldn't have happened, but it did. You shouldn't have got that loan, but you did. You shouldn't have got that Browns contract, but he did. You shouldn't have got that increase of promotion at the job, but you did. You shouldn't have seen reconciliation come the way it did, but God did it. The shouldn't have season is where you and I are living, and we need to experience. This woman shouldn't have been at church, but she came anyway. She shouldn't have walked in among the people because she was unclean, but she did anyway. She shouldn't have touched the rabbi, but she did anyway. Because she was persuaded on the inside, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to be made whole. Here's the beauty of it. Faith never remains anonymous. That's right. Now, I want you to write that down, think it down, put it down, memorize it, do something. But faith never remains anonymous. She was a woman in the midst of a large crowd. But her faith brought her to notoriety. Her faith brought her to a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. I'm trying to close. You see, what happened is when she touched him, she got healed. She knew that she was different. Now, she couldn't prove it there in public, but she knew inside the flow had stopped. And she was about to testify herself. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" All the people around him said, "You got to be kidding me. You're asking who touched you among this mighty crowd?" He goes, "No, I'm not talking about who bumped into me. I'm not talking about those that came and took a seat up in church. I'm talking about somebody out of testimonial pushed through and made a new path to get to me. Because when they touched me, that which was in me left me and went into her. He turned and looked right at her in the eyes like I'm looking at Lisa. And he then began to declare over her. You see, faith will never allow you to remain anonymous. God sees your heart and he'll call you out of a crowd. He will bless you even when you ought not to be blessed. I'll tell you, I'm sitting there on the front row of 14,000 people. I'm saying, God, I don't deserve to be here. I don't even know why I'm sitting here. This is an incredible thing. Pastor Joel called us back and he wanted us to pray with him before the service. So we walk back where the Cavaliers and all those players are, you know. And we're praying. He goes around, he thanks all the media people. He says, I want to thank you, guy from the plane dealer, and how much we appreciate it. He was so gracious to everyone. Then he came over to me to shake my hand and greet me, and I told him my name. I said, well, I'm Lewis Cayton. I'm one of the pastors. He goes, I know who you are. And I said, you know who I am. We never really talked but one time. How do you know who I am? But God puts you in places where faith will never allow you to remain anonymous. I'm telling you, church, there is such a great future for you. You've got to get your faith back and begin to believe that God has a great plan for your life. Not only will faith never let you remain anonymous, faith, write this one down, will create a new reality for you. Faith always creates a new reality. The widow, her reality was starvation and death. Faith created a new reality of abundance in her life. Faith always creates a new reality. I believe that all of that happened for one reason. God was about to show off on Mount Carmel. All the prophets of Baal, they gathered together on the mountain. And the prophet walked in, having been through the valley of Zarephath, having seen meal multiplied, having raised a dead boy, having seen water come through the wadi when it shouldn't have. He lived through the land of shouldn't have, and it happened. And he came to Mount Carmel with such great faith, he began to mock the God prophets of Baal. Where's your God? He said, whoever calls down fire first, that's the real God. His faith was building as he was preaching. He knew that he was in cadence with the king. He was happy in his pathway. And suddenly they poured water on the offering and on the altar. Not once, not twice, but three times, filled the whole trough up around the entire altar. And the fire, which shouldn't have fallen from heaven, it fell and it licked up the sacrifice, and it shouldn't have engulfed it in flame because of the water, but it did. God is a God of shouldn't have, and he always wants to show himself as being powerful and strong. Can I tell you, you're on your way to a Mount Carmel experience. A showdown is in your future, and you are about to let the devil know that our God is greater. Amen? He is greater. Let me close with this. The Bible says that if he stumbles, he's not down for long, because God has a grip on his hand. You may come in this morning stumbling. Maybe someone hurt your feelings. Maybe someone left you or betrayed you. Maybe you've lost something. Those are very real feelings, and I understand that. I've been there, man. There's no greater hurt and pain when people hurt you like people can. But know this, that God works all things together for good. The key is for those that love God. And if you came in here loving God and not wondering whether you love people, it's all right. You keep your love for God, and it's going to work itself out. But God's going to turn that thing around. And if you stumble, you're not going to be down for long, because God has a grip on your hand. The woman, in verse 49, she went away in peace. Now, there's one thing about me blessing you or me saying peace to you. But when Jesus, the Son of the living God that flung the stars into their sockets, declares, you are blessed. What are you saying? You came here broke, baby, but you're not leaving broke. You're not leaving the same way you came in. You may have spent all that you had. You may have bled to death nearly. But now I'm blessing you and I'm empowering you to prosper. And then he said, peace. He said, nothing missing and nothing broken. I believe in 1 Kings 18, he went to Mount Carmel and called down fire because he walked through the pathway of challenge, the pathway of faith, and the pathway of uncommon and unusual favor of God. God's got your back. And he's setting us collectively as well as individually up for the greatest demonstration of his love and mercy that this earth has ever seen. I want to declare over you right now God's blessing. I want to declare over you right now God's peace. I want to declare over all of us that our future is fixed. That your future is fitted. That your future is ordered. And your future is arranged by God. And that you are on the greatest days, on your way to the greatest days of your life. Like Dave Martin, my friend, says, the rest of your life is about to be the best of your life. Come on, stand up with me, ladies and gentlemen. Can you all play that, Our God is Greater? I think that would be something appropriate. As we're getting ready to worship the Lord, you may be here today and you say, hey, preacher, that sounds great, but it sounds like a bunch of hype to me. Sounds like a bunch of positive thinking. Well, it is without Christ. You see, none of that can come to pass unless you have the one that can bring it to pass. He is the super on your natural. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you're going to be hard-pressed to find your Mount Carmel experience. But how do you do it? It's as easy as A, B, C. I want you to understand that that's how simple this gospel is. Acknowledge that you're a sinner born in sin. And that you need a Savior. B, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved. In other words, His atonement, His propitiation, His dying at the cross was enough. I believe that. And then C, confess Him as the Lord of your life. It's as easy as A, B, C. Why don't you pray this with me now? Come on, everybody pray it. Say, dear Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I acknowledge my need for forgiveness. I realize I was born in sin and I need a Savior. You are my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. I now promise to live for you. I make you the Lord of my life. Come into my heart, Jesus, and I'll live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now you say, well, that was really simple, preacher. Come on, give me something to really have to deal with here. No, that's the gospel. It's a simple message, but it's a powerful result. If you'll embrace that, do four things. Number one, read your Bible every day. Okay? Number two, learn how to pray. Just talk to God the way you talk to your friends. Number three, find Christian fellowship. Get rid of some of them old nasty people that's in your life. And number four, learn how to sing praise and learn how to come to church and be taught the Word of God. I think your life will change. Right now, we're going to find some real happy, smiling altar ministers to come across the front because we want to pray with you. If you're here for the first time and you like that copy of Joel's book, then you can make your way over to this right door here. We'd love to meet with you and shake your hand. And then Tina, I'll be back out to hug whoever's left here, let you know we love you with all of our heart. But Tina and I appreciate everything you do. But can't we sing this like a declaration that our God is greater? Come on, let's try it. Let's sing it.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Stronger, God.
Right up the hill off 480 Broadway Avenue, about 2 miles, turn left, right into the Metro Park. Look for Red Oak Pavilion. We'll be there. Bring your own meat to cook. We'll bring a dish to share, everybody. The church will provide the drinks and the paper products. You're going to be glad that you came. Also, July 21st, we're feeding the homeless, 2100 Lakeside. 400 men. Where's Aunt B? There you are. Did you get my message? We are going to provide from the Love Center all the green beans and all the corn for 400 men. Isn't that awesome? So we're going to be able to do that. But see, Aunt B, if you'd like to be a part of that and support this effort of reaching out to the community. Hey, guys, live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. I'll see you on Mount Carmel. Amen. Woo.